Be in the book of Genesis. See some of my kinfolk here I haven't seen for a while. Abby and Donna. All right. Alicia, good to have you with us today. My spiritual kid also led her to the Lord back in the day. All right. Good morning to everybody. Señores and señores, muy buenos días. Señor Lalo, muy buenos días, señor. Remember Lalo, the loss of his wife. Melva, remember Emily and all that house, all those girls. God will bless them. Take care of them, bring healing. It's tough at Christmas time, such a melancholy time of year, and you wonder why things happen. Brother Phil Gabbard talked about that in Sunday school. And about so many infirmities and so many things. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. A lot of things come about in our lives. And seems like the Christmas season is such a melancholy time. It brings things to light and amplifies those things that have gone south in our lives. And we need to understand that we still have a God who is on the throne, a God who is sovereign, a God who loves us, whose thoughts toward us are thoughts of peace and not of evil. If the Lord said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil to bring you or to give you an expected end, I believe it reads. So God loves you this Christmas can be a melancholy time. My family missed our Christmas Eve service from my brother Jerry. His wife Rose was very ill in Christ Hospital in Cincinnati. She's doing better. But she really looked puny when we put her on the ambulance from Batesville up to Christ Hospital. And of course, when I was there, the May family lost Ronnie May. And we look around some of the Johnsons, Brandon, that's Johnny, Johnny's son that overdosed, not doing good at all. Has anybody got a report on him? He's off a ventilator. The scourge of drugs, the scourge of this. Why is this happening? Why? What is God doing? Well, sometimes God don't give us to know. But I want to talk a little bit about the story of Joseph this morning. You recall the story of Joseph. I'm going to be in Genesis chapter 44. And our text here today has to do with Joseph and his family. And families go through a lot of things. And I'd like to say that all my family just gets along like peaches and cream. But they don't. And I'm willing to guess that most of you here, neither does yours. There's always somebody at enmity a little bit with someone else, and it always strains, a holiday strains those relationships. You say, why does that happen, Brother Holt? Well, it happens because the body has not been redeemed. Paul said one day that the Lord would change our vile bodies. We've got a ways. We have to have this body redeemed. Our soul, if you're saved here this morning, if you've been born again, your soul and spirit has been redeemed. All right, you're a new creature in Christ. All things become new. Old things are passed away, but you still got that body of flesh, and that body of flesh has not been redeemed yet. It says waiting to it for the redemption of this body. Paul wouldn't have said it was vile if it had been redeemed already. So we have to deal with it. This world is still under a curse. We've got a lot of craziness. Politicians, self-serving. The political situation in America and the world today needs Jesus Christ. Needs a new birth. This worldview that government can solve all your problems and that education can solve all your problems is a false worldview, and it has never amounted to anything. A man is not getting better and better. Men, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. So sometimes we expect too much. What God expects you to do, once you've trusted Christ, is to be a light to the rest of the world. You're to be a testimony and a witness and a light to the rest of the world. But we'll look at this family of Joseph here for a little bit. In our text in Genesis chapter 44, Joseph, of course, is one of the greatest types of Jesus Christ in the Bible. If you're a student of the Bible, you'll understand that throughout Scripture there are pictures and types, typology. Joseph was a type of Christ. Well, what do you mean by that, preacher? Well, Joseph was of the seed of Abraham, so was Jesus Christ. He was his father's chosen son. If you remember that, he was rejected of his brethren, so was Jesus Christ. He later became ruler over his brethren. His brethren would bow down to him, and that will happen with Jesus Christ when he sets up his throne, sets up his kingdom on the throne of David in Jerusalem. They would bow at his feet. Joseph's master had committed all that he had into Joseph's hand. The Heavenly Father has committed all things into the hand of Jesus Christ, into his hands. He is a mediator. I said, well, I believe in God. Well, if you don't go through Jesus Christ, you got a problem getting through. Bible says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So here in our text, Joseph's brethren who had rejected him, they'd stripped him of his coat. You remember that coat of many colors? Dolly Parton did that song, Coat of Many Colors. It was in reference to that coat that Joseph wore of many colors. So his brethren had rejected him. They had stripped him of his garment, sold him for pieces of silver. They had now come to him for salvation from a terrible famine. Now, if there was any hope, Joseph's brethren's brothers, the house of Jacob, they knew that if there's any chance of survival, they would have to go to this master of Egypt and beg for food. You remember the story when Joseph's brothers came to him. Joseph could hardly conceal his love and his mercy to his brothers, even though they had rejected him and they had despised him, abused him. In the story, Joseph loaded their sacks with corn and returned all the money they had brought to him. But they learned that this man was not really interested in money. What they had to, what he had to give could not be bought with money. Who was it, Paul? And was it Barnabas or Silas went to the man and he was begging alms. And they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give it thee. Money can't buy you heaven. A lot of folks have found that out. A lot of great philanthropists, as they're called, given so much money to good, to hospitals, to causes throughout the world, and yet lost without Jesus Christ. Hey, and I get criticized. The only cause that our church has is a cause of Jesus Christ. You get men born again, all the other things will take care of themselves. All those other things. We're not here to save the whales. We're not here to save the trees. Our cause is not the Wounded Warrior Project, even though that's a wonderful cause. We're here to let folks get born again. And then let the love of God and God's people reach out to those folks, and those are the folks that are reaching out to our veterans. But our cause, our only cause, is the cause of Christ. We don't have a lot of activities here at the church centered around other things. A lot of churches have Weight Watchers, and heaven knows some of us need it. Or different groups that meet here because our cause, we don't want to get sidetracked from the cause of Christ. Is there not a cause? So here, Joseph's brothers were sent home again. Their youngest brother Benjamin with them. But notice, Joseph was working everything here according to his own will and purpose. My. You know, God does that. God will work everything to his will and to his purpose. Genesis 44:1, and he commanded the steward of his house, saying, fill the men's sacks with food as much as they can carry. Put every man's money in the sack's mouth. They'd gone and begged food from Joseph, the master of Egypt, but they didn't know he was Joseph, their brother, whom they had abused and sold into slavery. And put my cup, Joseph says, put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest, and his corn money. And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. And here he's working. He has a plan. He's working his will to be restored, to have his brethren restored to him. It says, as soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses. And when they were gone out of the city and not yet far off, Joseph said unto the steward, up, follow after the men. And when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, wherefore have you rewarded evil for good? Is not this it in which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth? Ye have done evil in so doing. And he overtook them, and he spake unto them these same words. And they said unto him, wherefore saith my Lord these words? God forbid that thy servant should do according to this thing. Behold, the money which we found in our sacks' mouths, we brought again unto thee out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of thy Lord's house silver or gold? With whomsoever of thy servants it be found, let him die, and we also will be my Lord's bondmen. And he said, now also let it be according to your words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and ye shall be blameless. Then they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground, and opened every man his sack. And he searched and began at the eldest, and left at the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. And they rent their clothes, and laid at every man his ass, and returned to the city. Benjamin was Joseph's full brother. Benjamin's mother died in childbirth. Joseph loved Benjamin more than he loved all the others. And now Benjamin has been set up, but Joseph has a plan in this thing. You see, there comes a point, or will come a point in your life when you find, you'll find that cup and your sack. And you cannot, for all that you can study about, figure how that cup got there. Why it's there. Why this is happening to you. You don't understand how it got there. You can't understand why it got there or who put it there. But understand this. God is working his will in your life. I've gone through some things with my family. My nephew Brent got in trouble one night. Started fighting, wanting to fight the police up a big bar fight up at DJ's. I'm talking about 30-something years ago. And he grabbed a policeman. In most circles, you touch a policeman, you go to jail. And they were going to let him go because he was my nephew. I said, you can't do that. He won't learn a thing if you do that. He went to jail. Now, I worked with him to get a diversion. We helped him after that. But you know, in 30-something years, that boy has not been in trouble since. He had a bitter cup to swallow. Everybody's mad at me. All the family upset with me. I didn't get him out of it. There comes a point. And see, here's what happened with Benjamin. Here, of course, Benjamin is a type of the church. And remember Genesis 35, someone had to die for Benjamin to be born. And Joseph loved Benjamin, and his affection was to him at the rejection of his brothers. Now, Benjamin was just the object here of Joseph's love and affection. And Joseph would use Benjamin to restore his brothers. But he loved Benjamin. And he lifted up, Joseph loved Benjamin, it says, and he lifted up his eyes, Genesis 43:29, and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is this your younger brother of whom you spake unto me? And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother. Everybody thought he was mad at him. Put that cup in Benjamin's sack. And here it says his heart yearned upon his brother. Sometimes God puts something in our lives and all the time he's just yearning upon you and just wanting so much for you to do right and to come back to God and to live right. Restore that prayer life. Restore that that fellowship, sweet fellowship that you had the day you got saved. And Joseph made haste, for his bowel did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep. And he entered into his chamber and wept there, and he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, set on bread. You know, sometimes we as Christians, we forget that God loves us and that God yearns for us and is constantly working in our lives and working for our benefit. He just wants to love you, and he wants you to love him back. That verse I quoted earlier was Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Benjamin and his brothers here could only see bad in this situation. They couldn't see anything good here. Man, they were in trouble. They were in big trouble. But notice where this cup came from. Genesis 44:2, Joseph said, and put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest and his corn money. And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. See, that cup came from Joseph. Listen, that cup you're carrying this morning may very well be a cup from the very hand of God. You can't see it. You don't understand it. You don't have it figured out. Oh, but God does. He brought something into your life that you think is the end of the line for you. You don't see how you're ever going to get over it or get through it. Remember what the Lord told his disciples over in John 13:7. It says, Jesus answered and said to him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Learning to wait on God is a very difficult thing for a lot of Christians. For most Christians, it don't come automatically. Some of these things you have to learn. You know what Paul said? He said, I have learned in whatever state I am in therewith to be content. It don't come natural. That cup, you'll find that bitter cup and you can't figure it out and you don't know if it's the devil. You don't know where it's coming from. And you're at your wit's end. But sometimes God will bring something into your life and you couldn't figure it out if you stayed up all night. And sometimes that cup is bitter and we worry and we fret. And some of us, for whatever reason, instead of accepting that cup as being God's will, many times we'll begin to blame God. Job, for all intents and purposes, if anybody was going to blame God, it should have been Job. And everything that happened to Job said, yet he charged not God foolishly. Forget how that's worded. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Joseph here would later tell his brothers. Genesis 50:20. But as for you, Joseph talking to his brother said, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Why? To bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Sometimes we get so down over that cup that God has given us that we may wonder if God really loves us. Well, does God love me anymore? You know what God says? He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. My, my, my. If you ever begin to doubt whether God loves you or not, look to Calvary. If you ever doubt your value to God, look to Calvary. I'm not talking about this self-esteem thing that the public schools teach, me first and you next. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your worth before God. If God says, observe the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they are? We forget that sometimes. Verse 29, Genesis 43, 29, and he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is this your younger brother of whom he has spoken to me? And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother. God loves us so much, and he yearns so much to have us close to him. Now here, if only Benjamin could have seen beyond that cup that was given him. If he could have discerned the hand of God in this thing and had known the glory that was to be revealed. If he had been able to see and felt that love and had known the tears and the anguish that Joseph had put forth for him. The Bible says here that when Joseph saw Benjamin, whom he loved, bowels yearned upon him. He sought where to weep. Bible says over in the book of Luke that when Jesus came to the place of his brothers, the city of David, he looked over Jerusalem and he wept over it. When Lazarus died, the Bible said Jesus wept. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Don't think that the Lord don't weep. Maybe he's weeping over you today, just yearning over you and so wanting for you to just come back home. Brother Phil talked about it in Sunday school. One of the prayers that I pray each night in my prayer walk is for me to show fidelity. To maintain fidelity to the Word of God. We don't want to deviate from it. We're a church. We want to be a church. We have been a church where the truth, no matter who gets upset about it, no matter how politically incorrect it is, and all that, where we want to stick with the truth because the Lord said, Thy Word is truth. We want to stick to that book. It's not going to be politically correct. It's not going to line up with what your teachers taught you at school. You go to college, it's not going to line up with them because they have a worldview that is totally different. The first day your kid attends public school, you know what he's going to be taught? He's going to be taught that God is a liar, that God didn't create it all. He's going to be taught that man evolved from this and that and so forth. But your Bible says, in the beginning, God. Now you've got a kid. It normally takes about 12 or 13 years. I've heard a preacher say this, of formal education to convince somebody that there's not a God. Because you're born with that inherent knowledge that there is a God. Now God just wants to bring you back. You see how man has corrupted things and how corrupt this world is today. If you have any doubt how corrupt the world is today, look at your TV programming. Nothing. It's pure lewdness and vulgar and what God calls abomination. Yet we think, many of us think that it's cute. It's vulgar. These brothers of Joseph. My. Even though you may have what appears to be a bitter cup in your life today, God still loves you. He wants to bless you. Many are the affliction of the righteous, the psalmist said, but the Lord delivereth him out of all of them. The apostle Paul said that I may know him and the fellowship of his sufferings. It isn't all going to be smooth sailing. God's working a work in you. The Bible says the judgments of God are to be desired rather than fine gold. Why would I want God to come work me over? It says, for by them is thy servant warned. Sometimes God will send judgment in my life because my thoughts are wandering where they shouldn't be wandering. And God will say, can you hear me now? Some of you may be going through something today where God's trying to bring you back, and you think he's punishing you. Well, he's sending judgment because you're acting sinful. For said you're to desire the judgments of God rather than fine gold. Man, that's hard to bear. For by them is thy servant warned. My. These brothers of Joseph were overcome with sorrow. They didn't know what to do. Verse 44, 13, it says, then they rent their clothes and laded every man his ass and returned to the city. The Bible says in verse 13, and they fell before him on the ground. In verse 16, and Judah said, what shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. They were at the end of their ropes. Their money was refused. They had absolutely nothing to offer. They were helpless, hopeless, and their sin was ever before them. And the only thing in the world that could save them at this point would be mercy. Mercy. They stood before this master of Egypt, broken. Genesis 45:1, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, he said, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him. You know, he's overcome with emotion and love for his brethren. And while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren, and he wept aloud. And the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard, they heard him weeping. And Joseph said to his brethren, said, I am Joseph. He revealed himself, that who he was. And he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. Hey, when the storms come, when it seems like everything's is hopeless and helpless, everything's lost, when we find that cup in our sack and we're totally helpless, the psalmist said in Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Did you hear me this morning? Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Sometimes God's purpose is hidden from us. We don't get it. We don't understand it. We struggle for reason and for purpose of something in our lives. And the disciples in the midst of this terrible storm, the Lord was in, you remember that story, in the back of the ship asleep. And the Bible says, and he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Of course he cares. Be still and know that I am God. God's working something in you this morning. Now, I'm not like one of those TV preachers and said somebody here has back problems, because probably 40% of this crowd has back problems. But I do know that God is working in your life. If you're a born again Christian here this morning, God is always working things. The conforming, whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to his image. He's always working. He who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's trying to let you grow. He wants you to grow in the grace and knowledge of your Savior. That may be why you have that cup in your sack this morning that you haven't figured out. Why don't you just give up and say, God, I'm just going to trust you. Whatever your will is for my life, I want to trust you and I want to serve you. And I want to live life according to how you want me to live my life. And it will never contradict that Bible. Never contradict the Word of God. The Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. It will never contradict the Word of God. They will always agree in one. Where are you this morning? How are you handling that cup that God has brought into your life? Everyone stand up this morning.